Then, finally, those that believe will stand forever, but those for the wise stand for the prudent. Now, Greek for another only involves a bit that a time of obligation comes in song and lives in debt, in debt. Paul is saying, I'm in debt, both the Greek and the barbarian, the Greek of the gospel. So what does he mean? Well, there are two different ways of being in debt. Yes, but you lend me a $1 million. I'm not a barbarian. But there's a second way as well. Matthew, you give me $1 million. For me, pass on to someone else for you as a medical parent. Until I do that, I'm in debt. Yeah, it's awesome. It's just different Jesus. works the same way. God wants to have his way. And that God's righteousness is both his right moral character, especially in holiness and justice, and as he acts, and in all of his life, a statement that he is able to restore people, a legal standard that they didn't give them, but they were incinerated by their own righteousness. In the phrase of verse 17, the righteousness of God, we're talking about that second kind of righteousness, that legal standard is able to give us. And just for anyone who wants to get really careful, just for a second, the phrase of the righteousness of God, what that is in verse 17, isn't a possessive objective, not by the sense of a criminal objective, it's by a God God has, it's a subjective objective. Meaning that God is someone who produces or enacts the righteousness. And that's the general of his thoughts, otherwise known as an adjective generative. Meaning that the righteousness is something that comes out of God. So we could not say the righteousness is from God, as some of our conversations do. How do we know God? How do we know that God is generative and isn't God? There are four reasons. Number one, the immediate context. So the righteousness of God in verse 17 is laid amongst both the power of God in verse 16 and the love of God in verse 18. And since both of those other two describe God actively producing things towards the world, it makes sense that God will be consistent in how he expresses himself here. That's what we're trying to read. Second, the context of Romans as a whole. Understanding the righteousness of God like this in verse 17 exactly fits with one of the central arguments in the whole letter. As I see the section in chapter 3, chapter 10, other places as well. And third, the context of Paul's theology of the law. For example, he uses the exact same phrase in places like Philippians 3, 2 Corinthians 5, and those places that clearly means what we're saying in here. And then the fourth reason that pushes us to understand the phrase of righteousness of God in verse 17 as the status of righteousness that God can give us is the context of the Old Testament. Because at the end of verse 17, you see Paul is quoting from somewhere. So look at the end of verse 17, have a look at that. It says, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now that's a quotation from Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. What's Habakkuk talking about? What's the context there? Habakkuk was writing about 600 years earlier, and Habakkuk is in an anguish that God is going to wicked Babylonians to judge Israel. And God's response there, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, he's basically saying Israel will not be destroyed. But would be righteous and survive and live by trusting in God, by faith. So the quotation, now this is the point. This is part of what we want to manage to unpick. The quotation at the end of verse 17 is not primarily about how people live, about how people go about their lives. It's about whether they live. If they live, it's then they live their lives and they live their lives. Tennessee Alternative Translation in the ESV, so I believe you guys in your edition, in the manual edition, should have a footnote, a little alternative translation, and many scholars think it's justified, and I agree, I think it makes the meaning a bit clearer. The footnote, if you have it in the context, the phrase there is, the one who by faith is righteous shall live. So it's not about you can be more and more righteous as you live, as the church has been teaching when Luther came along, it's about entering into life. It's about living instead of dying, getting eternal life instead of eternal death. The one who by faith is righteous shall live. Let me summarize that by paraphrasing verse 17. We're nearly done. But have a look at verse 17 and follow along as I paraphrase it. Paul is basically saying, quote, "For it, the gospel, a righteous status, which is God's gift, has been revealed as all people, a status which